Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are finally circling back on the April China production numbers and looking at how that may impact a second quarter production number for Tesla. It's been a relatively quiet news day today, so we just have a couple of items to go through, but we'll spend most of our time in that production spreadsheet. So if you are an audio listener, this may be a good one to flip over to video. I'll put the link for that in the show notes. I am recording a little bit before market close, but it looks like Tesla's going to finish down a little bit on the day. It's trading right around $605 per share as I'm recording. You should be able to see on screen where it closed at. But barring anything crazy to end the day, it looks like Tesla will trail the Nasdaq, which as I'm recording is trading around flat. As for the underperformance today, don't forget that yesterday we had that SEC article from the Wall Street Journal come out after market close. The recall that we had previously talked about was getting some attention in the news today as well. And this morning, though this didn't seem to get a ton of media attention, we did have a tweet from Elon Musk on supply chain challenges. He had replied to a tweet from Pierre Ferragut where Pierre was saying, quote, "Quick thought, fact, Tesla is shipping cars from China to Europe and increasing prices in the US. Underlying reality, demand in the US is insane. Tesla has to increase prices and keep all local production onshore to manage it. Second quarter print will be interesting," end quote. Elon replied to this saying, quote, "Our biggest challenge is supply chain, especially microcontroller chips. Never seen anything like it. Fear of running out is causing every company to overorder, like the toilet paper shortage, but at epic scale. That said, it's obviously not a long-term issue," end quote. So I thought that was a perfect preface slash caveat for the Q2 production numbers that we'll go into now. So the critical point that we got here for Q2 late last week was April production numbers out of China. You remember we previously had gone through at length the delivery numbers, or wholesale sales technically as China puts it, which as you all know, especially on a monthly basis, I care way, way less about. It tells us a lot less about what's going to happen going forward than actual production numbers do, which is why my forecasting sheet that we'll go through here in a second is all based on production numbers. So that production number for Giga Shanghai, as we talked about last week, was 30,494 vehicles per Moneyball on Twitter. And then he also shared the by-month breakout for both the Model 3 and the Model Y, which is really helpful for projecting Shanghai going forward. Okay, so getting into the spreadsheet here, this is just a scenario, one example of how production could look for Q2. This isn't necessarily my forecast. We'll revisit that towards the end of the quarter as we normally do. Just as a reminder of how the spreadsheet is set up here, the rows are periods of time, the columns break out Fremont and Shanghai as well as total production, and then we have the weekly rates and the daily rates, which are really important to look at because each month or quarter can have a different number of days and that can actually have a pretty big impact. So those rates are the most important thing to understand and analyze. The numbers in gray here, those are actuals. The numbers in yellow, those are projections. And then the numbers in orange, those are things we have pretty high confidence in. Mainly that's based on these reports out of China. So you can see there, I've put in the production numbers for Q1 as well as for April from Shanghai. Then I've got a table over here breaking down Model Y and Model 3 from Shanghai individually, as well as the weekly production rates based on the number of days in those months. When we look at things this way, the numbers look a lot better for April, as I alluded to last week, than the delivery numbers that we'd gotten earlier. Model 3 production in April for Shanghai was just over 22,000. That was higher than any month in Q1. And the weekly rate even better at 5,165 per week. So that's much better than the 4,800 per week in Q1. And basically in line with where Model 3 production rates had topped out at last October at 5,178 per week. So great numbers there to start off the quarter for Model 3 in Shanghai. As for Model Y, production was reported to be about 8,300 vehicles. This was actually down from March. March was reported to be about 8,800. March does have an extra day, so on a weekly rate perspective, those were pretty close. But critically here, remember we did have a report that Model Y production was shut down for about 2 weeks in April. So at first we approached that report with skepticism because it was just coming from one source, but that does look to have been the case. And it makes sense here, with Model 3 production increasing in April from March, you wouldn't expect a decline in Model Y, especially as that vehicle continues its production ramp up. So that reported downtime makes the most sense here. That changes the implication of these numbers significantly. If we scroll over here to the weeks, we had 4.3 weeks. If we just take 2 weeks out of that, that actually puts the production rate up from 1,950 to about 3,650 per week for the Model Y. That sort of a jump in production rate month over month is not unprecedented for Tesla. If we went back to September last year for the Model 3, again, just in Shanghai, we saw a 1,700 vehicle per week production rate increase in September from August levels. And we actually saw a two-week shutdown in September too, which hid the strength of that overall number as we headed into Q4. And then in Q4, we really saw that underlying strength come to fruition as Tesla went from production in Q3 of 37,000 vehicles to Q4, 67,000 vehicles in Shanghai alone. So if that two-week shutdown report is accurate, then I think that's what we're seeing here with the Model Y. And I think we're on the cusp of a step change in production rate here. as we head into May and June. If Tesla does not have further downtime on the Model Y and they keep that production rate going of about 3,600 per week, we could see production in May of about 16,000, and Tesla should be able to keep ramping up from there as that production rate obviously still trails the Model 3. So if we assume a little bit of an increase there in June, maybe 1,000 more vehicles, so 17,000 in June, then for the quarter, we're sitting at about 41,500 Model Ys, up from about 17,800 Model Ys in Q1. So that's about 24,000 more vehicles, which again is not unprecedented. We saw the 30,000 increase in Model 3 quarter over quarter last year. We've seen a Fremont Model Y ramp up and add maybe 20,000 vehicles in an individual quarter. So there's plenty of precedence for that kind of increase, which again is just based on that production rate if Tesla did have that downtime. So pairing that with the Model 3 production, then again, we saw just over 5,100 per week in April. If we even lower that to 5,000 per week for May and June, that's kind of the rolling 6-month average, then we would get about 65,700 Model 3s produced in Shanghai in Q2. There could be upside there of about 1,400 vehicles if they continue the April production rate. There could be some liability there of about 2,000 vehicles if they revert back to the Q1 production rate of about 4,800 per week. So all things considered, that felt like a pretty good middle ground. Putting the 3 and the Y together then, that could put Tesla at 107,400 vehicles produced in Shanghai in Q2, up from about 79,000 vehicles in Q1, which again, not an unprecedented increase, but incredible year-over-year growth from last year's Q2, where Tesla produced about 33,000 vehicles in Shanghai. In fact, even including Fremont, that would be more than Tesla produced in any quarter at all in their history up through the end of Q2 last year. This is why I said last week the April production numbers for Shanghai are super exciting if that downtime report was accurate. All right, so what about overall production then if we include Fremont? I haven't spent as much time on Fremont, so that's part of why I'm saying this isn't a forecast, just a scenario, but let's just say that Fremont's production rate holds steady to what it was in Q1 for the Model 3 and the Model Y. Then in Q2, we get one extra day, which helps a bit, and then we also should have some Model S production, let's just say a couple thousand vehicles there. I don't think any crazy assumptions in that mix. That would put Fremont at 104,000 vehicles for Q2, which would put total production, Fremont and Shanghai combined, at about 211,000 vehicles. Total production last year, Q2, was 82,000 vehicles. This would be up 157% year over year. Now, of course, the last year number there includes shutdown time. Fremont was closed about half the quarter, but those year over year numbers are going to look really, really good in the Q2 report. As for quarter over quarter, that would be about a 17% increase from the roughly 180,000 vehicles Tesla produced in Q1. And again, we have seen Tesla do that on numerous occasions in the past. It's a bummer that S and X aren't up and running at full speed yet, because that could add another 20,000 vehicles to these numbers, but that'll help the sequential growth look better in Q3. So these would be great numbers. As I said, this isn't necessarily my forecast. We'll revisit that closer to quarter end when we have a little bit more information. We should get some new numbers out of China for May here pretty soon. That'll be a good indicator of if this idea is on the right track or not. Then, of course, the other big question is the impact of the supply chain challenges, as I mentioned at the beginning. It's important to remember, though, that Q1 had a lot of these challenges as well, and in that Fremont forecast specifically, we're not expecting a big increase from Fremont in this scenario, and that's despite the challenges that Fremont had in Q1. There was a temporary shutdown, there was that GigaPress fire, and the chip shortage was obviously still a thing in Q1 as well. Remember, Elon Musk discussed this on the Q1 conference call, saying, quote, "So yes, this quarter, and I think we'll continue to see that a little bit in Q2 and Q3, Q1 had some of the worst difficult supply chain challenges that we've ever experienced in the life of Tesla, and same difficulties with supply chain, with parts, over the whole range of parts. Obviously, people have heard about the chip shortage. This is a huge problem. But then in addition to that, for example, we had quite a difficulty scaling, driving our production in China, because we're unable to get critical engineers there because of COVID quarantine restrictions, which meant that Tesla worldwide was dependent on drive units made at our factory in Nevada, Giga Nevada. So that was a very challenging situation," end quote. So Elon did say that they were mostly out of that particular China issue, but we're obviously still seeing some of those other challenges persist here in Q2. So one of the big questions is, okay, does that hit the production line, or does that hit the margin line in terms of higher cost? Could be some mix of both, but in Q1, Tesla managed through it well, and this scenario, particularly that Fremont number, is based off of Q1, which faced very similar headwinds. So if Tesla can again manage through it well, I do believe these numbers are achievable, even with those headwinds persisting here into Q2. So we'll keep these numbers in mind as we head through the last month of the quarter here. We should get more information in about a week when we get sales numbers for May for China. We might get production numbers a few days after that. We'll have to see. It's been a little bit more inconsistent in terms of when those have been reported, which is a bit disappointing because, as we saw with the April numbers, those sales numbers tend to not really tell the full story. It's also important to remember that, again, this is a production scenario. If Tesla ends up producing 211,000 vehicles, deliveries could fall below that. Tesla delivered more vehicles in Q1 than they produced, which is not the norm for Q1, so we've got a bit of a deficit here to start the year heading into Q2 in terms of inventory, pretty low at 8 days of supply. Just something to keep in mind, and that's also something we'll discuss in more detail in the final days of the quarter when I do my full forecast for both production and deliveries. Certainly, though, if production does hit a 211,000 type of number, then I would definitely expect deliveries above 200,000, which would be a great milestone for Tesla to achieve. Moving on from that scenario then, as I mentioned at the beginning, just a couple of other quick news items that I wanted to cover. First is an updated note from Credit Suisse. This was picked up by Bloomberg and others today. Just Credit Suisse's monthly EV report card, but they did highlight that Tesla lost share globally, saying that their share decreased from 29% in March to 11% in April, which I will bite my tongue on making a sarcastic comment about. I think we've talked plenty about the context of those monthly numbers, but Credit Suisse to their credit does, sorry the pun there, Credit Suisse to their credit does also make note of that point, but they do say that this was a, quote, greater than usual fall off in share from the last month of a quarter to the first month of the next quarter, end quote. That sort of context is difficult to get across in headlines that highlighted this market share decline today, and regardless, that's not a number that I would put much weight into anyway. Lastly here then, just a quick note on Giga Texas. There have been a few photos spotting a prefabricated supercharger unit being delivered to Giga Texas, being ready for installation. Remember, we talked a while back about Tesla shifting over to this prefabrication installation strategy for some supercharger stations. Regardless of the prefab though, it is cool to see these show up now on Giga Texas, just another step in the process of getting this thing ready for vehicles. So that is where we'll leave it for today. Let me know in the comments what you think of that production scenario, maybe what your forecast is for Q2 production, and make sure to subscribe to follow this to the end of the quarter as we head into the delivery and production report in early July. In the meantime, you can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, June 3rd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.